Sisters and brothers, I heard a story once about an up-and-coming young artist. Talented, innovative, creative, his life full of promise. Two women came to this young man's first art show. The younger one said, "He's very good." The older woman said, "He is very good, but he'll never be great until he's had his heart broken." If we want to grow from our life story, we need to be familiar with our broken hearts. We need to acknowledge and understand our wounds. Why? Because they are always life-defining and life-shaping. Although the cliche says it can make you or break you, I'd like to rephrase that to say, what breaks you is what makes you. Because we walk with our wounds to the end of our days. As Henry Nouwen says, we are always wounded healers. You might think the opposite would be true, that when our story contains a difficult piece, don't own it. Just forget about it. Put it behind you. It's hard to believe that by remembering and acknowledging our pain, it can set us free. Paul's story is a good example of this. Paul has hit a difficult time. He is writing this letter from prison. A man whose story has been about traveling, carrying the gospel to the world. And he's now confined and helpless, his life at a complete halt. This is not an exciting turn in the road for someone who is energetic and passionate. He knows what he wants to do. He wants to do it. He wants to get on with it. It's his calling and his desire. And there he sits, in limbo. This wasn't his plan. It's not on his agenda. It wasn't what he dreamed of for his future. The whole situation is going against what he's good at, what God has called him to be and given him the gifts to accomplish. And he doesn't even know it yet, but he's going to stay there in prison for over 2 years. The unexpected unknown looms before him. So how can he say that his being put in prison is actually a positive? How can he mention without bitterness his chains 3 times in 6 verses? Quite simply, because he knows everything doesn't depend on him. What he can or can't do isn't what's going to save people. No matter what happens to him, God will continue to reign, his kingdom will continue to come, and our story will continue to be a part of that because God reigns over all our stories. He will accomplish his purpose for you, for Paul. Nothing can take that away. Look at Paul. The worst thing that could happen did happen. Rome stopped this evangelist cold. And as a result, he quite literally has a captive audience to preach to. His guards. The question of, is he chained to them or are they chained to him, might depend on who you ask. The irony of this story is that Paul wanted to bring the gospel to Rome at a time just before Nero, when Christians were regarded with growing suspicion. How could he possibly do it? He couldn't, and he didn't. God shifts Paul's story, and then his dream of bringing the gospel to Rome happens because Paul is in prison. What Paul desired is coming true exactly when it seemed Paul was least able to bring it about. And it's no small victory. Paul is sending greetings from Christian converts who are part of Caesar's influential inner circle. And since God is a creator God, there is naturally a ripple effect in Paul's imprisonment. His setback makes his fellow Christians bold, because Paul in prison has made Christianity the hot topic around the water cooler in the empire. Everyone is talking about it. It's now an acceptable forum for public debate. Forgive the pun, but it was a chain reaction. His fearful brothers and sisters in the Lord are now free to speak openly, and Paul, confined to a prison cell, is actually spreading the gospel in a way he could not had he been free. We all have our own prison stories, either of our own making or forced upon us. And the hound of heaven always pursues us till we examine our depths, know our wounds, tell our stories. Why? So we know, first of all, that in Christ it all belongs. And second, that not a single piece of it rules. Everything belongs, and nothing has the last word. None of it can destroy us, neither can it save us. I'm not saying everyone can sing in prison like the apostles did, but what Paul is saying is pain can't win, can't change what God is doing and will accomplish in you. For Paul, it means prison and people gossiping and an unknown future. And it means these are all tools in the hands of God. They cannot destroy or take away the work God is doing. If Paul stays in prison or is released, his story, our story, belongs to God alone. Our salvation and God's purpose for us cannot be changed or taken away by any circumstance or person or power or principality. So how can we have the kind of mind that sees a turn in the road as a God thing? How can we trust that a shift in our expectations, even a squelching of our desires, is a God thing? Because if there is ever a place where God dwells, it is in those moments. If there is ever a place where God is at work, it is then. If the healing light of Christ ever shines for you, it will be in your darkness. Because Jesus walks towards our darkness, not away from it. There has never been a single moment in your life where he was not beside you. Christ is at work in all things, past, present, and future, to set us free, to heal our wounds, and to bring about his good purposes for us. He can do it. He will do it. He is doing it. And we will all experience his refiner's fire at some point, somehow. Paul had to be literally thrown from his horse, stopped in his tracks, and blinded by God before he lets go of the story he is writing for himself. Think of your story. Maybe how it confined you, or burdened you, or wounded you. Know Christ is there. He has always been there, at work, because God is doing great things in you and through you, in spite of them, and sometimes even because of them. His love reigns over all our stories. Nothing can take that away. I'd like to close with some words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a young German pastor from World War II who was jailed for resisting Nazi forces, only to be hanged just before the liberation. He says about Gideon, "Do not desire to be strong, powerful, honored, and respected. But let God alone be your strength, your fame, your honor. Gideon achieved faith in fear and doubt, and he kneels with all of us here before the altar of the one and only God, and Gideon prays with us in our outnumbered, hopeless situations. Our Lord on the cross, be thou our one and only Lord. Amen.